Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle, and we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Side Hustle City podcast, and as always, the trusty co-host Kyle Stevie, who has been remote of late. Say hi, Kyle.
Hello.
So Kyle's feeling a little under the weather today, so he's not going to risk getting us sick. But we've got Summer Crenshaw with us.
Hello.
And Emily Geiger.
Hello.
And they come to us from Rodex. So it's the brainchild of Emily here. And Summer has a startup in this, I guess, accelerator program that you guys have, right?
Yep. We're going to talk about how Summer came to be and as a venture builder and the accelerator / studio. We're using modern terms, Adam. I don't know if your generation uses those, but like a studio is where you find investors and you put big ideas or big problems in front of venture builders like Summer, and poof, you've got a lot of different opportunities to start companies.
Nice.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll bring you in your, what are you, 40 now?
44.
44.
I'm getting up there, man. Falling
we'll
apart.
We'll pull you in.
I got stretch when I wake up in the morning.
Make you relevant
now.
Again.
Yeah. I go up against the wall and do like stretches for like 5 minutes just to walk down the stairs. It's pretty sad, actually.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. And I think it's been a great extension of some of the conversations we've had about the way people have lived and the way they will live in the future. And it kind of parlays a lot of the conversations you guys have probably had about, you know, decentralized things and people accessing information completely differently and wanting to live more freely and independent of kind of one fixed place or one fixed job, one fixed time frame every day, and kind of expand their modes of operation. And I think Summer, coming from an on-demand marketplace background and talent attraction, has seen this for years. And we're really excited to kind of peel that back when it comes to some of the themes we're seeing at Rodex. So let us know what part, like, do we need to tell the origin story? Like, how do we start?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, most of the people that listen to this, they're interested in alternative ways to make money.
Okay.
So, or, you know, they have a 9-to-5 and it sucks, or it doesn't suck, but they just want to make some extra money doing whatever. So, you know, one of the big things on Facebook that people really like is the Turo thing, because it's not a huge, you know, investment of time. You can do it and still have your 9-to-5 job. People that are doing Uber right now could also do Turo.
Right.
So, you know, when their Turo is rented out, they don't have to drive around. They make just as much money. You know, those kind of things, you know, people, you know, they maybe invest in trade crypto, things like that.
Okay.
But we've had a lot of people on here talking about, you know, starting up landscaping companies or whatever on the side to just earn some money, you know? And I think that's where the economy's headed. I think, you know, you've got this great resignation right now. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it while I was just speaking to some bankers today about Bitcoin and blockchain and mining. I was like, man, a bunch of these kids, they could just go out and buy some mining equipment with the money they've got saved up and make enough money off of mining crypto right now that they don't have to go work at Frisch's or Wendy's or wherever they're at. I mean, you can make just 100% as much money mining crypto, you know, depending on your investment, and do other things and explore other options. So I think in the future, people are going to have multiple things that they do. I don't think it's just going to be one thing, and pretty much everybody's going to be a freelancer.
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm thinking things are going. But I mean, you're always going to have people that, you know, need 9-to-5 folks.
Yep.
But I mean, Summer, you were in this world. What were you seeing? I mean, you guys started what, Tiller 6-7 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, started it in 2015. And the thesis that, you know, it's kind of funny now looking back because I feel a little Nostradamus-y about things. But my pitch deck in 2015 said, you know, the world will change, values are going to shift, and by 2020, over 50% of the workforce will be contingent and or gig. you know, at that time. So there's a massive crisis ahead for employers that they cannot think about their workforce in the traditional manner. So that was why we created Tiller. It was saying, you know what, if people are using Uber to go out and go into a stranger's vehicle and use that instead of a taxi, why would you not use blind hiring as a method for employers to get fast work? And so that's what we created. We created a platform that allowed, you know, individual companies to say, hey, I've got this work opportunity available. Let's match it based on skills. And then the individual worker could accept or decline the work, just like an Uber driver could accept or decline a rider, right? So that was the thesis we ran after. And here we are in 2020. The values shift that we thought was going to occur occurred. Now, it didn't smash up into the pandemic, but at the end of the day, this was going to happen regardless of what the pandemic brought forth. Mm. The pandemic just cemented it. So I think where we're at now is that, you know, we had a much broader look at our values, like what matters to me. And what matters to me is not being locked down in a, you know, in the 9 to 5 or more, you know, what we're seeing. And most people that are doing side hustles wanted more cash, but that cash equaled some kind of freedom. That cash equaled going on a trip. That cash equaled, you know, paying for, you know, a kid's, you know, college fund or whatever, right? Like there's usually a reason attached to it. And I think what is really interesting about what we're doing at RoadX Labs and kind of the venture that I'm working on is saying, you know, not only do we shift our values when it came to work, we shift our values based on time. And our time right now needs to be spent on making memories, and those moments that we have missed over the last near 2 years really matters. And we need to find ways to gain that back. And it's just going to be an accelerated path. We're not going to settle for 1 year or 1 week a year, taking a vacation, right? Like we need to be out in the world on a consistent basis. And that's every weekend. That's, you know, taking those 3 to 5 day trips. That's getting out on the road quickly.
Yeah. So like the collision of those two things were that fixed time period and people looking at their vacations as a 1 or 2 big trips a year and changing that to exploring every weekend. So we call that micro tripping. And yes, that has another, you know, connotation to it. But people were telling us in our research, and early on in the research, we did a kind of a broad look at the way travel was being consumed. And we saw probably 5, 6, 7 opportunities out there related to that. Those opportunities were, you know, people taking pilgrimages to understand their backgrounds. They were looking at how people were digital nomads and the blend between work and play. They were looking at how they could get out and about more frequently. And so that nomadism is kind of at one end of the extreme, but there's this middle ground where people are trying to get out and kind of change their experiences on a week-to-week basis. One, because they were trapped in a, you know, their house for 2 years or a year and a half. And two, because they are feeling increasingly anxious about being tied to one job and not being able to move around. So we're calling this microtripping thesis, but the thesis is that we're hearing that people are rejecting the 1 to 2 week vacation that their employers have given them as some like take a week off and, you know, chill out and you'll come back all refreshed, and saying rather, I want to go see something new every weekend or once a month. And I want to take my family on that in an affordable way. And, you know, while I can go access a bunch of other points of interest from the big travel brands, they're really not as authentic as I want it to be. I'd rather get it from a friend and family member. And I'd rather be able to get it like right now and not look through gazillion reviews on TripAdvisor or other kind of big brands. So they're looking at their friends and family or a decentralized model and saying like, how can I go access that type of information without feeling kind of stuck to the big brand, the 1 week vacation, the employer says I go on 1 week, and how do I have a little freedom in my day-to-day or weekend routine? And so that's what we're tackling and one area that the RoadX Lab is super interested in. We know that there's 700 million road trips every year, and about 30% of them are short getaways. So we're zeroed in on that as a big opportunity. And we're also zeroed in on looking at experiences that are not packaged in a tight little bundle and kind of corporate, and looking at how do we experience a local, hyper unique and people focused ways of experiencing neighborhoods. So I don't know if Summer, you have any other input on that too. What you see is a little different than I do because you look at it as a marketplace.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I was able to lean in on my previous marketplace experience is that at the end of the day, people trust other people. They're trusting brands less. And if you can connect a traveler to a trip maker, and that's a peer-to-peer experience, the thesis is that the overall travel journey will be that much stronger and that much greater and that much more authentic. So the way that I look at it is this is a marketplace. This is connecting, you know, to different groups that actually are somewhat homogenous in that, you know, if you're a trip maker, you're a traveler. And if you're a traveler, likely you're documenting your experiences in some format, whether it's on social media, you're sharing it to like mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you know, through, you know, text messaging. So how can we use technology to facilitate or broker that relationship and then get out of the way and let the magic happen?
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Yeah, because we go to Orlando a lot. My wife loves Disney, loves Universal. We actually got yearly passes to Universal.
Wow.
Yeah, that's because we intense. Go like 5 times a year. And so people constantly ask my wife, hey, what would you recommend? We're getting ready to go to Disney. What would you recommend? And she will sit on YouTube and watch these like, I guess, influencers, right? There's this Disney food blog DFB guide that she watches, and they talk about all the food at Disney and, hey, we tried all this stuff and this is the best, you know, hamburger at Disney, or this is the best French fries at Disney. So she'll know all that stuff and she'll memorize it all, and she'll go and she'll take notes. And so people, you know, we're posting food constantly, you know, me, I'm an Instagram foodie thing. but, you know, people ask her, hey, you know, what's the best place to go to? So essentially you're curating a lot of people like my wife.
Exactly.
Who know a ton about Disney, never worked there or anything. We just go there a ton. Yeah. And they want that experience instead of going to like a travel agent.
100%.
That's awesome.
So it's replacing that, not replacing. I don't want to say that it will eliminate the need for a travel agent or, you know, booking platforms or anything like that. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is people want authentic recommendations. They want to know like another person that kind of has the same vibe as them, like what they would do, and then just have that available so that they know, okay, I'm going to Disney. You know, your wife said to stay at this location. If I want this vibe, I'm going with my husband only. I'm going with my family. I'm going to go here. And then here are the restaurants I'm going to go to, the shows I'm going to see, those things. And that's, we believe that she should be an influencer. She is an influencer, but it's in a different realm. So it's not the influencer that we're all used to. We think that it's going to, I feel like it's going to transform a bit from the influencers of, you know, earlier years to now more authentic relational experiences. So absolutely, taking your wife as an example, you know, she would be a perfect person to be a trip maker on the platform.
Yeah, because she would tell people, hey, go to Cabana Bay. If you're going to stay at Orlando, there's a little pathway that takes you. You can just walk the pathway and go right to Disney. It's probably one of the cheaper hotels, but, you know, value wise, I think it's pretty cool. And we stay there pretty much every time. Every time we look it up, it's like, guess we're staying at Cabana Bay again. It's the cheapest one and it's the nicest one. And then I would tell people, okay, if you're going to go to that Starbucks in their lobby, go after like 9:30.
Right.
Because the line is insane.
Absolutely.
When everybody's going at the same time to Disney or to Universal, when it first opens up, you got this crazy line, and it's not just the parents, it's the kids too. So just let it die down. and then go to the parks. You're not in a big old hurry to get there. So, right. You know, it's things like that, like exactly. Stuff that you wouldn't just like things that you, I guess a corporation, Cabana Bay is not going to put it on their website. Yeah. Hey, go to the Starbucks after 10 a.m. Yeah.
Right.
No, they're just going to free right. for all. Right.
Well, and then also like at the end of the day, if you're going to try to get away, you know, there's real easy ways that, you know, we can match, you know, individuals to like a vibe or how far they're willing to travel or the budget they have. That helps narrow down like new experiences that they might not have. So they don't have to be destination focused. They can be road trip focused, right? Like they know that they just want to get on the road and go. So that's one big element of it. And then another thing, like when we think about the reviews, we waste a lot of time on the search. We waste so much time on reading tons of reviews of many hotels and many pieces of that travel puzzle. It's a lot more meaningful just to get that little bundle by somebody that has been there and has done it and does it over and over again. Right. So that's also an element that we just don't see today. We don't have that somewhat of a package of, hey, I go to Disney all the time. Here's my jam. It might be your jam. Maybe it's not your jam, but here's one way that you could do Disney. So that's what we're really excited to kind of mesh all of that together and have travelers and trip makers, you know, kind of come together in one, you know, great system.
What's the benefit to each? I mean, obviously the benefit to the person who's doing the traveling is going to be, hey, I get all this great advice. What is the benefit to the person who's giving the advice?
So I'm a marketplace person. I want trip makers to make cash. That's to me, it's an amazing opportunity for us to build a platform that could have passive income built in. So it's not this consistent, you know, although you might want to create over and over and over again, but there's an opportunity to have, you know, a way to make a side hustle based on your knowledge and not have to be somebody that's on Instagram in a bikini.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I mean, I'm sure you get on your bikini all the time, right?
Oh, like, man, all the time. Well, the reels anymore. Like if you get on reels, it's every time it's like a teenage girl dancing.
Right, 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 right. And so I think most of us are pretty burned out on that. We're like, seriously, I just want another human that's like me.
I haven't even downloaded TikTok because I already know.
Right, yeah. Right. 100%.
Like people's eyes are like 9 million miles wide and they definitely have like that filter on that makes them sparkle all over. Yeah. So you're like, having kind of like an alien existence. And like, I don't, I can't relate with that. And that's what we keep hearing from people. Like, I just want someone I can relate to. And maybe that person's like 65 and he's a history like expert. Yeah. And you know, I was like, my family and I went up to Northern Michigan for fall break and stayed in a cabin and came back and we had to stop. We had that midpoint freak out with all of our kids and we had to find a place to go and eat. But we also needed like 2 hours to go stretch our legs and burn some energy and see something. So my way of getting into the vibe was Grand Rapids was around there. My husband's Lithuanian. So I called the Lithuanian club and said, hey, can we stop by and like watch the Bengals and the Lions for a little bit? And like hang out and let our kids run around. My husband's last name is Dragalis. Like, can we do that? And they're like, he's like, yeah, come on. We got chips and you guys can have beer. And like, you know, we don't have any sausages cooking right now, but we stopped at the Lithuanian club. It's this kind of cool, gritty street in West Grand Rapids. And then we worked our way down the street, went to a shrimp boil place that was like a Mexican shrimp boil and like hung out. There's some kids there whose parents own the shop. And then we walked down to this store called Vidiots, which was a gaming and video store.
Oh, perfect for
kids.
Like
totally rad 2 hours. But you know who turned us on to it? The guy from the Lithuanian club. He's like, you can spend all day here. Like, come check out a couple things. And he was 63, you know, like not ever going to be on TikTok, but he had all this oral tradition and storytelling to offer to us. So we think like that type of travel is what people are craving, like real authentic, gritty, you know, known quantities, but they like, how would that guy find TikTok to make the matching? But if he had a storytelling tool and could, you know, give it to quote friends and family, or we call them familiar strangers, we would have a whole new game.
Yeah.
And a way more interesting way of consuming that. And you have to be a pretty solid traveler to go and show up at a Lithuanian club and like expect them to let you in with your four kids. I mean, I'm surprised they let us in, really. But like, how can we bring that to everybody? How can we go drive, 100 people from Cincinnati to Grand Rapids and let them spend at local shops and see the mom and pop things in a new way?
Well, it's crazy. Every once in a while, you'll stumble across something on a trip and it'll be something you never even planned on going to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you went there for something completely different, right? Then you stumble across this little neighborhood and you're like, how come no one knows about this little neighborhood? Right. Or how come no one, in Cincinnati knows about this little cool place that they can go to, which is not very far away up in Michigan.
Right.
So when we think about the thesis too of building a platform to do this, you also have to think about your backyard. Cause at the end of the day, we all have been there when we're like, it's Thursday. What are we doing this weekend? Or it's Saturday morning. I've got to get my damn kid out of the house. What am I going to do? And at that point, you need something that you can just look up and not just Google things to do in Cincinnati this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. So that's what I do.
That's
maybe not in Cincinnati, but yeah.
Right. But I mean, even if it is like same day, you've got a couple of hours that you want to kill, you can drive, a decent, length of time away, get into something that's really interesting that you never would have, found if you would have done that lovely, things to do in Cincinnati this weekend search.
Or like all of the small towns and
tons of small towns, Yellow Springs, Ohio. Soil, yes. Like I went up there and there was this delicious, probably one of the best chicken parmesans I've ever had.
Yeah.
At this place in Yellow
everybody
Springs. There's nothing.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows about the chicken parm.
Yeah.
It's probably
see, I don't
the wind.
No, yeah. But I mean, really cool. Yes. Like, and maybe you run into Dave Chappelle while you're up there.
Exactly.
You never know. Like, he's
exactly.
floating around. Yeah.
And we do have a creator. One of our beta creators actually did create something on Yellow Springs. And the same thing. And he had a bike trip. He was like, you can totally bike from, I think it was Xenia to Yellow Springs and like how to do it instead of doing even just on the road. So it was interesting, just a different version of the road.
Doesn't
right?
Ohio have the most bike trails in the country or something?
One of the top, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's slowly but surely all connected from Cincinnati all the way up to Cleveland. So it's going to be an interesting scenario when, we can travel literally in a totally different manner. Besides autonomous vehicles that'll come and take over all the cars.
Oh
right?
yeah. Oh yeah. So this project that we're talking about, this is what you're working on, Summer, right?
Yeah.
So this is a startup inside of the Rodex incubator, right?
Yep.
So talk a little bit about that, about the incubator and what you're looking for right now, Emily.
Right. So what we're looking for right now is we started the whole thing in this kind of weird manner of going, hey, who's interested in travel or road tripping? Join the Rodex product community. And so these are like product mavens, people interested in, all the way from like experts, people with the van down, a van life person. Mm-hmm. One of our colleagues, Brandon Agronovich, is literally lived in the van for 2 years. And then he's kind of like gotten him an apartment, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
To novices who are like, I want to kind of go along for the ride and I have some skills to contribute. So think of that community like a co-op where we could pull people in for marketing stuff or we send them challenges and like we're just kind of learning about the market through their eyes. And that's about 200, 300 people wide now. And we'll use that community to build other startups and start bouncing ideas or probably pull founders out of that crew. So that's one thing. The other thing is the studio has a process itself. For this one, we linked up with a travel kind of legacy brand and said, we want to study this area, put together the processes to convince us that this market's big, one, and two, consumers are leaning towards that. So we used the community, did research, recruited Summer, and we've launched a beta project right now called Romy, which is your road homie, your person on the road.
And that's your project. Summer.
That's Summer's. Yeah. And then going forward, we're looking at theses or problem areas for people in this kind of nomadic, fluid time in our country, and I think the world actually, where we can crack into other problem areas that haven't been solved yet. So, we've talked about van life and the kind of hitches there. there's, you know, travel as a benefit is a big area.
Yes.
I would say mobility as a service is another area that we've worked with. We're working with a startup, Ryan McManus, has a startup called Share Mobility that is doing mobility as a service. He's in Columbus. So like the thing about creating new companies is they don't always fit neat little verticals. Like this is somewhat between a creator economy and a travel offering. And like all of the tooling that we need to create to get there doesn't fit something that a quote mobility accelerator would do. So we need to support those entrepreneurs in thinking bigger than typically you can think alone, and support them with people that are willing to kind of take risks that look like, yeah, this is kind of a weird idea, but it's slowly validated through the lab and then we pop them out and launch them. So that's the last phase. We work with funders and other investors to get behind and back entrepreneurs and pull them out of the lab, knowing that a graduate's never really leaving the lab because they're linked in several different ways through talent and kind of this extended relationship with a community of people. And that's what you kind of circle it all up and you say, this is a community of people who believe in different ideas and are willing to work towards it and sometimes get paid to work towards mm-hmm. it and back these ideas as early users or you know, people who can come onto these side hustles, which will be a business model to be reckoned with almost every industry going forward. How do we pull them in? How do we make them useful? How do we let them experience things, give us feedback and all of that? So our goal is to create multiple companies in this thesis as a lab. Rodax is just the starting point, right? We are super interested in travel and the creator economy and mobility colliding because there's been such a messy kind of bomb that's gone off with COVID. And then there'll be other labs that use similar models. You know, the big thing is that we've got entrepreneurs and venture builders from a lot of different places. And we lucked out with Summer in that she has kind of that secret sauce of marketplaces and knowing where they're going to go. And so that's what I'm most excited about.
So the futurist.
Yes.
So you see this as a long-term thing, and I do too. I think a lot of people are sick of that 9-to-5, you know, Henry Ford style industrial job, right? And not all jobs are industrial, but that came from the Industrial Revolution. That whole 9-to-5, you got to be here pulling the handle all day, right?
The W-2 1099 whole scenario came from that, right?
And I hate that every city ties all the job incentives to W-2 employees.
Yeah, it's insane.
When are they going to get with the program? It's right. Like nobody wants to be a W-2 anymore.
Right.
I mean, there are people out there that are just like, oh, it's me. I guess I'll just be a W-2 and work for somebody. Yeah. But how secure is a W-2 job?
It's no more secure. The only thing that is added in that scenario is that your taxes are taken out of a check. That is the big part of the awe of having a W-2. But at the end of the day, benefits are changing. Portable benefits have been, you know, coming for a very long time. I did a ton of work on portable benefits at my previous startup, and we are finally seeing massive momentum towards that. And it is finally hitting, you know, DC, and we're going to start to see a lot more opportunity come out of legislation where they are finally recognizing that they can't just keep putting, you know, everybody into one, you know, one little bucket and penalize the ones that aren't in that bucket. So, and I think you're going to see a lot of organizations, especially within like the healthcare sector, you know, and this was something that I had a partner when we were building our benefits for Tiller. I said, you know, at the end of the day, you know, in 2015, I'm saying this to, you know, a major provider. I'm like, if I'm right, in 5 years, you're going to see 50% of the workforce no longer be W-2. What will that have an impact on your bottom line when 50% no longer are being handled in the traditional fashion? And, you know, I remember the look on their eyes like, oh, wow, like, that's a major deal when you're talking about, I mean, that can completely upend an entire industry. So I think that we're going to see more and more organizations thinking through, okay, how do we provide portable benefits for those that are even part-time or are, you know, fractional. I mean, you know, tons of CXOs now are fractional. We're going to see some really interesting, opportunities. I think also when we look at what we're doing at Romy, you know, I see in the future, you know, opportunities to solve for some of the future of work challenges that we're seeing right now. You know, the shortages of labor, it wasn't just caused by COVID. It has been going on since the 1970s. The drought was coming since the 70s. The statistics were all adding up. You know, it was never going to be sustainable in the method that we had with the job creation that we had, that we would have enough of the workforce. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to hit the road and go work for a location just for a day or two, and that gets you to your next leg of an adventure and the next leg of an adventure, to me, that's a really amazing opportunity for the future of work to kind of collide with van life and collide with, you know, what we're building here today, where people can really start to grasp onto memory making and in a new fashion.
You know, another thing that surprised us, so we have probably 20, 25 creators on the platform now, and we're actively recruiting them, is, you know, we had to entice them to do it the first time. Our tools are simple. They're not smooth like TikTok yet. Like, we haven't had a million man hours put on development, right? But the folks who got the most kick out of it said it felt really good to create something a little longer form. I really liked kind of making a story. There's some sort of intrinsic buzz that people get from going longer form and feeling it out there and into the real world. So, like, you know, podcasts are an example of going longer form and listening. And like, that's opposite of Facebook and TikTok, which are, you know, at max a minute attention span. So there's this kind of art form, I think, in between, where you're not necessarily like person facing and like dressed up and on the camera and on with your red lipstick on, but people are looking for productive feeling art forms and ways to tell stories in different ways. It's not like short and very kind of skin deep.
Well, everybody wants to be an influencer, it seems like. Like, everybody's looking for an opportunity to like go take a picture of something that nobody else, none of their friends are doing right now. So everybody's at work, but you're at the Grand Canyon. You're like, I'm at the Grand Canyon. Look at me. Look how cool I am. Yeah. Right.
Like 100%,
you know, and it's all those experiences. And, you know, they always say, you know, everybody's life on Facebook is completely different than their life in reality, you know?
Right.
But you know, everybody, what they see is the good parts of everybody's life. So they feel like they have to compete with everyone else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They think that they're the only ones with bad stuff happening to them. And, oh, I got to go make up for that and overcompensate. So now I've got to leave my job and go hit the road and be this social media influencer. Well, everybody wants to do that, but there's not many opportunities out there for you to like actually do it. Right. 100%. Because you got bills to pay. Right? Right. Especially if you're older. I mean, if you're a teenager, you're still mommy and daddy have a trust fund set up for you. Maybe you can do it. Right. Which is what I think is going on right now with some of these kids. But, you know, for most people, just common, normal people, you can't do that. Right. You're not going to be the next YouTube, you know, whatever influencer. But on this platform, you don't have to like be there. Right. To show everybody that you're experiencing this or you have experienced it. Right.
Right. Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, I think, you know, to Emily's point, it's storytelling in a different way. It's a different format. So, you know, you could also kind of think of it as almost like mini podcasts, but we do connect with photos and links and things like that. You know, that's another way to look at it. But I think one of the things that we're going to see from a utilization perspective is creators are going to create, they're going to get excited about it. They're going to want that. Travelers are going to like it. And then all of a sudden there's going to be this instance. Cause I actually had the aha moment too. And it was kind of an emotional thing to think about, but you know, we lost a lot of family members through the last year and a half, like a lot, 10. And so for me, I went, like, I was talking to my husband and I was like, you know, how amazing would it have been to have your dad, prior to him passing away, take us through going to Virginia Beach in the Virginia area where he took us all the time. We went to Jamestown and, you know, Colonial Williamsburg. We've been there a zillion times, but he would tell these amazing stories. And those things ring in my ears, but man, it would be just phenomenal to have a platform that he told that story. And it it doesn't even have to go out to the world as from an influencer standpoint, where people can make a side hustle cash. That's awesome. But at the end of the day, this can be a platform for that as well. It's just keeping those moments in posterity. So I think that you're also going to see that from how it's utilized. I think that it's going to be really cool to see that kind of play out as well.
When every startup I've ever been involved in pivots, like the customers find a new way to use it that you never even thought of, right, or you may have thought of, and then you just never knew they'd take it to that level. That would be the main thing they use. So, you know, one of the things is to get it out in the world,
yes,
right,
and let people play with it
exactly,
and see how they interact with it. And then as your audience grows, the bigger the audience, maybe they start interacting with something else,
yep,
because now there's more content in a certain area. So maybe at first they're not using the videos as much, and then they start using the videos more, or they start listening to little podcast things more or whatever. Yeah, but that's part of owning a startup, is constantly listening, yes, and observing and watching the data and how people are using your tool, and then adjusting based on consumer demand.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's community at the end of the day. Like that's the way that I look at it. We're facilitating relationships within the community, and we're excited to see what they do with it, where it's going to go. Just because it looks like everyone's looking for a new way to communicate. I mean, I think that's why, you know, platforms like Clubhouse became so popular so quickly. It was because, you know, it was a new format and the oral tradition started to come into play. But again, that's just like a flash, like that isn't, you know, kept forever. So you're still missing the mark on some of the platforms, but people are really starting to adapt quickly just to find that new great thing that can somewhat fill the void, I think.
Yeah, I think like deep, people are looking to connect and reconnect with each other.
Like human beings,
yeah,
with human nature being,
like, and actually
outside.
Being, yeah, and not, yeah, doing.
Like, look, it's a tree. Like, yeah, there's a tree out there. It's, yeah, a real, yeah, tree. It's not on TV. And and I'm with a human being that we're both looking at this tree, and it's not online. And
Yeah.
Like,
and like being, and one of the top three things people are looking to do is get outside and get outdoors. Well, like, we've been kind of deprogrammed to go do that. This might, you know, there's certain tools that serve certain things at certain times, right? How do you get people and literally pull them out into nature and pull them into places that are natural, but not a state park. You know, there's that everywhere in the country, and you can find things to do outside, like, you know, knitting on a boat, something weird like that. Like, you can do the things you love, or paint outdoors, or go have picnics outdoors, or whatever that is. You don't have to be in hiking boots.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the gear, you can get outdoors and do things with other people without having to be an outdoorsy person. And that's kind of a new concept.
Yeah. And people hate cookie cutter. I mean, a lot of people live in these cookie cutter neighborhoods with their cookie cutter cars, and their kids look the same as the kids next door. They dress the same, and they go to the same school, and everything's the same.
Yep.
Right. That song, Little Boxes, right? Like, that's what's going on out here. So, I mean, you got all these people that feel like in their jobs, or the, you know, they're selling insurance, and the guy down the street selling insurance, and the guy next door selling houses, and who knows, like, everybody's doing the same damn thing. So it's like, how do you break away from the monotony of life? And I feel like COVID just made us feel even like worse about the direction we were headed, just making money just to pay for your house in the burbs on your cul-de-sac and your, you know, Toyota Corolla and the minivan. Like, that's what you're paying. That's what your life is.
Right.
Like, how do you people break away from that, from being like a slave to the 9-to-5 world?
Right. But like, if you think about it there, so I have been in healthcare for a long time and doing innovation in healthcare. And for me, I was trying to find like some scientific evidence that travel makes you happier. And I finally, like after 18 months and 3 months in this, into getting this lab going, I found this article that said that studied people and two groups. One group was told to put a tracker on them and walk around the neighborhood and go see something new every day. Take a half an hour.
Oh, wow.
Much. The other one was to said, just, you know, do your normal thing. Stay in your house, be chill. Same routine, same day. So after the study was out, we found that the people that were told to go seek out different things in different neighborhoods and in different sites and different smells and different people and different environments, we're much more happy than the other ones. And we're not talking even leaving your neighborhood here. It's like, go out and see the world and look for things that are new. And they call that experiential diversity. And I think that's what we're getting at here. People need to see and be and get it and get into the real world again and connect with human beings. And like, what's more interesting than having someone who's been right under your nose in your neighborhood or, you know, the Lithuanian club guy telling you how to go see the world in a different way? That's awesome. And I think that, like, from a society standpoint, what kind of people would we produce, or kids, or values would we produce if we just took some time away to go see the world in a different way, or through somebody's lens, maybe with the story behind it? That does all kinds of interesting things. And maybe that's the soft side of why I'm interested in this area, because I mean, for me, I grew up very much trained to travel and go see and get out, because I'm from small town and there's not a lot there, but I go back and I appreciate all the stories and the culture and that old brewery or the thing that is there now and is now a car dealership. Like, all of that matters. And there's not really a form to go capture that right now.
Well, I need your Indiana Hoosiers to beat the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend.
Yeah.
Because the Bearcats need to make it into the playoffs. So. Well,
that's a lot of provincial rivalries here. We got to knock that down. Maybe if you go visit Columbus, Adam, you would appreciate the people there more. Yes.
I only care about Cincinnati. So I'm prejudiced against anything outside of the 275 loop. I only want Cincinnati to win.
Okay.
I want everyone else to fail.
That and Orlando.
No, I love everybody. Yeah. I love everybody. I love to travel. I love to go places. I just like to bring back ideas from cool places. Yeah, like,
that's a good feature.
There should be more pastel de nata, which is like a little tart treat, like a custard tart treat in Cincinnati. And I ate probably 30 of those things in maybe a couple of days when I was in Portugal. In like a 3 or 4 day span, I probably ate 30 of those things.
They were that
so
delicious.
Good. Oh my God. They're probably, I don't know, 3-4 inches.
Oh my gosh. You ate like 30 of them?
Oh yeah. We bought entire things of them. Like, there's 6 of them in a thing and I just kept smashing them. It was crazy. Oh, I probably gained. Oh man. Portugal is not a place you go to if you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
Because everything's meat and pastries. There's no like place you go to get green stuff. Like, if you were like, give me a salad, it'd probably just be different kinds of meat on a plate. Like, that's what you would get. It's crazy. And then cheese on top, you know?
Nice.
But yeah, so I mean, this is super interesting. And I don't think there's a lot of accelerator programs. And I know there's investors who target specific things. So in Cincinnati right now, there's a group of investors that were just in our co-working space here, and then they moved over to the Icon space. And their target is logistics for a pretty good reason, because Cincinnati's in a really good place when it comes to logistics. And it's like, if we're going to compete with the Silicon Valleys and all that stuff, they can't compete with us on logistics, but we can't compete with them on, you know, Ubers and Facebooks and things like that, right? But what makes sense here? You know, logistics, you can't change where you're from. Where you just so happen to be in a great part of the country, really close to Indiana, you know, Indianapolis, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Louisville, Lexington. I mean, we're right here, right? And there's so much population around us. So targeting something like logistics for Cincinnati makes a lot of sense. But I don't know a lot of incubator programs that super hyper focus on a trend.
Right.
Which is what you guys are doing. I mean, you see this, and like you said, I mean, when you introduced Summer, you kind of introduced her as a futurist and somebody who can see these trends and what's coming in the next 5 years, right? Hard to judge anything past that. I mean, maybe 3 years, right? What's going to happen? And like you said, Summer, you said COVID really just accelerated this trend, right? Yeah. So you guys see a big opportunity here because it's come so fast. I feel like a lot of investors, a lot of incubator programs, you know, they haven't been able to jump on the trend as fast. So you guys want to position yourselves as somebody who's there if they want exposure to this industry in this trend in this part of their portfolio.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of different ways to do that and a lot of different types of people who can come in and build with us. So, you know, Summer and I are looking at what type of creator tools that need to be made, and we're like, we need to start putting the word out there about the CTO that would be ideal, because the creator tooling is for many of the kind of future leaning creator platforms like Patreon, one of the core parts of their business model and value proposition. So, you know, how do we pull people in like that? Do they need to be in Cincinnati? Probably not, absolutely, but how do we pull them in here? Because we've got this kind of core mass of companies building against a common theme. We need that community to pull more talent in. And if there's not something specific people need to feel like they can jump into the mix when it comes to startup communities and contribute something, whatever that is. And sometimes this is elbow grease. So yes, that. And then the other piece of this is that because we are a consumer town and we have found a new way, kind of the direct to community model to do that. I mean, we're being led by what the consumers are saying. We didn't create this out of our own. This is kind of community created tooling,
which is smart marketing anyway. I mean, any new product, I mean, if you ever worked at P&G or worked with anybody from P&G, you know, or in the agency world, you know, you got to do consumer research.
Right. Yep. So this is a little different. We're letting consumers kind of play with the product while it's ugly. We get yelled at a lot. We get like, hey, your bug kind of sucks, like real bad. We're like, well, what do you want to do to help fix it? Come on board.
Right.
Like we've got students from Miami jamming on a couple of things right now that we know are like coming research that we need. But like, you know, I guess it's like, if you want to do something and change the world, if you want to change the way that you can live on the road, like let's go build something together about it. Instead, a much more ado, and that fits like the Midwest thing. Let's go do something about it. I think the thing that, and Summer, you can comment on this because you've founded so many companies and been out in the marketplace as like a national thinker on future work. But like, we need a safe place for people to think big and take bigger risks, and finding talent that's connected in one way or another to similar missions. So like a studio would be awesome if we created five sister companies that were all working towards different parts of this problem. That's the big goal when it comes to a venture studio. And how do those founders, like in some way, either through shared kind of financial incentives, but also one person succeeds, the other person can succeed alongside of them. How do we create more, not noise, but storytelling about what we're getting after?
So, I mean, if somebody's listening to the podcast right now and has an idea for a startup in the mobile living space and the mobile working space, any of that kind of stuff, and they want to be part of this trend. I mean, you're positioning Rodex as like the incubator to be in.
Yep.
I mean, what else is there right now? I mean, but you're starting so early in front of this trend that I feel like if we get some good companies in here and they can incubate, you can learn, like you're saying, you can learn from them. They can learn from Summer. They can learn from the stuff that you've already, you know, compiled, all this research that you've already compiled. And this could just be a success engine.
Yes.
For startups.
Yes. Yes. And so the call is, one, we'd love if, so this is a side hustle podcast. Like we need people who know their backyard and like making weird and wonderful stuff to come on and use the beta. And there's two sides. One, there's a creator side of the trip maker side. And we've got an open beta for people to contribute and use the tooling itself. So I'm sure there's a lot of makers and creatives and hackers that could get on and use that. But the second is like, we need users. We need people to come on and use some of this stuff and test it out and like yell back at us and tell us how we're doing.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go out and try to grow this thing, and we'll need proof that people are interested and give a damn.
And people actually want to do it.
Yeah.
So how do they reach out? How do they find you guys? What do they need to do? Where do they go?
Yeah. Just head up rodexlab.com and then just hit on the link that says beta, and you're going to see our Romy beta right there. And from there, we'll either get you in as a creator or a user or both, because at the end of the day, it's pretty circular. But that's going to be the best way to get a join this team and be a part of changing the future of travel in the way that we see it.
So with this, you could kind of be both sides of the two-sided marketplace.
Yeah, we've got these kind of personas that are like, all right, there's this wanderlust warrior who's out and about all the time. And then they're already kind of finding the new and novel things. And then there's people that are a little rusty that want to be led a little bit more. And they're not so dissimilar. And, you know, obviously the real hardcore travelers like Brandon on our team, he knows like the nitty gritty, like where to climb in Boulder to a T type of thing. And so like those guys are probably power users. And like what we're trying to figure out is like how to mash these power users together, because that seems like an elite club of travelers, right? Like How fun would it be to like go to Grand Rapids and be like, I want to meet the Lithuanian prince and like he can show me around all the clubs and like, where's the babysitter set up and like, how do I get out in that town and stay the night? And maybe like, you know, there's different ways of hosting people in that way.
When I really like it, because everybody's trip is a little different and everybody has different needs. So, I mean, when you go out, you have to worry about the babysitter situation. Yeah. You got to worry about how to get all these kids wrangled and out of the hotel room or wherever you're staying, you know, the Airbnb. I mean, it's probably easier for you to just get an Airbnb now instead of a hotel, right?
Right. We nearly died a couple times in hotel rooms at the hands of our children.
Oh, no.
They took them hostage.
Dying by lack of sleep. We always end up on the floor. I mean.
Oh, no.
Kids rule, man. That's definitely the case. There's so many use cases, I think, and friction points when you like really start looking at how people are traveling different. I mean, I know another woman who's chosen to leave her job and she's kind of doing a COO as a service and do it from the road with one kid. And she's already like, holy God, you know, what do I do with the kid? How do I get them out? Like, how do I have play dates on the road? How do I take care of myself? Where do I go? You know, all of that.
Those kind
stuff.
Of things,
There's a lot of friction points to uncover there. You know, do I want to drive my own car when I'm out on the road and traveling long term? What setups can we flip so that it's a little bit friction, a little bit less frictionful?
Yeah. Well, I know Kyle, he's had his concerns with kids and he's going, two of his sons, I think just went to college, right, Kyle? And one of them's playing soccer and you got to travel all over the place for these soccer tournaments and everything, right?
Not as much anymore, thank God. It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And the problem with the youth sports is that most of those tournaments require the organization to, only rent rooms from a specific location. So you can't even VRBO or Airbnb a location. You have to use whatever hotel is your soccer club is telling you have to use.
Yeah. And then you have to go to the pool until 9:30 and, you know, pick up the pizza after.
Right. The specific pizza.
The right. Yeah. So Kyle, tell me if you like this idea. So my wife's dad owns 45 acres up in Hamilton.
Okay.
Or just a little bit north of Hamilton. It's like Fairfield, right? Or whatever. They want to do, it's a log cabin, a lot of land, most of it's cleared. And they want to invite these soccer teams that are coming in for that spooky nook soccer complex they're building up there. So they essentially want to invite entire teams and put bunk beds in, have a little soccer field set up so that they could practice out there.
That's amazing.
So, so these teams can come in, say, you know, a day before, get a little practice in, you know, do whatever they got to do. They would cater and then they have a bus that would drive them to the spooky nook place because there's certain times that there's a train that comes by.
Yeah.
So say your game is at a certain time. Well, now there's this train going by. You can't get to your game in time.
Yeah.
So they're going to know all the times and all that. So a little bit about what you guys are talking about. If I'm not from Hamilton, I don't know what the train situation
100%,
100%. Is. 100%. So, yeah. And I got someone who's willing to provide all this stuff, this know-how. Hey, if you guys want, you know, to get out of here, I can take you in the bus and we can go down to this ice cream shop that's downtown Hamilton that nobody knows about, or this coffee shop or whatever. So, Kyle, what do you think about that? Like, when you're soccer dad, how would you feel about doing that?
Oh, it'd be awesome. You're going to have to get in with the soccer tournament, whoever's organizing the tournament, though.
Yeah, that makes
I think
sense.
They have, like, in all honesty, I feel like it's like kind of like an incestuous thing where you have this, the teams from Indiana will go and they'll play at like Cup or King's Hammer. So the King's Hammer will work out a, get a sweet deal from like one of the hotel chains around here. And they will make everybody stay at that hotel and they'll get some sort of kickback or whatever. And in return, whenever Cincinnati teams go up to Indianapolis, it's the same deal. You're going to have to get into that little political sphere.
Wow, it's a soccer mob. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's they form quickly, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some guy's like, I'm going to own this. You're not going to, isn't going to elbow everybody else out of it, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's how
soccer is like the most corrupt. I mean, all the way up to the top, it's a very corrupt sport.
Man, everything's corrupt nowadays. Golly.
Man.
This is why everybody needs to buy Bitcoin.
And that's the end of the podcast.
And that's the end of it. Buy Bitcoin. See you guys. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, awesome, guys. So, once again, tell me how they connect with you guys, how they connect with Rodex, and how they connect with Romy.
So, Rodex has kind of Be a Builder built into the thing. And it, we ask you a little bit about what you want to work on. We have got different themes out there, kind of in holding patterns. But they can sign up and tell us a little bit about them as a venture builder. So let's say you're a developer and you want to build some stuff, or you just want to, you know, cut, sharpen your knives a little bit on a skill set that you haven't done. Like for me, I've been wanting to write, and community build is like a skill set for a long time. I use this as a way to kind of sharpen my tools. That and Airtable, right, Summer?
Oh, God,
Airtable. Jesus. And then the Romy stuff, I'll let Summer.
Yeah. So on the RodexLab.com website, you can click on beta. And from there, there's a quick form that you'll fill out, and it'll tell us a little bit about the type of trips you like, what you would think from a theme perspective, how you want to be involved. And then from there, we'll have you join to either test our product as a user or become a creator as well. And, you know, we're excited to build up our creators, you know, from a side hustle perspective. The creator side is where, you know, we're going to be working to monetize. So those that are very early on in the phase of this, you know, we'll likely have, you know, great incentives for those individuals to like build and start getting it out there and start promoting and start making cash, just to tell your story and your favorite burger joint or your favorite hike or, you know, whatever it is in your backyard. You know, we are here in the Midwest, but we do have creators that are, already pretty much all over the US. We've got some stuff coming out of Colorado and stuff coming out of Oregon and you know, all over the place. So we're always happy to have individuals from outside of the Midwest, but definitely also looking for individuals to join the team over at Romy. So if you're somebody, especially if you're a CTO looking to get into travel, because it's super cool, please hit me up personally. That would be great. You can find me on LinkedIn is probably the fastest way to grab me.
Summer Crenshaw, Cincinnati. Would be the search maybe on LinkedIn.
Yes, absolutely. Summer spelled like the season, not with an O.
Perfect. Well, guys, it's been awesome. I'm glad I actually feel like I learned a little more. Like you and I, Emily, have talked about this several times and now I think it's like cementing for me, you know?
You got to get the smart one in the room. It's not us, it's Summer.
There you go. Well, now I know more about what you're doing specifically. I mean, I kind of had a pretty good idea of like this, you know, the fund, not really the fund, but the incubator type of thing that you're trying to build here. So makes a lot of sense. So you guys need CTOs, you need people who want to use the platform. Anybody that's just interested in travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, startups.
I want to hear from founders. Like I know people have concepts and let's talk. Let's talk about what you need to build and how this Rodex community could help you kind of, there's a lot of people that think that they have an idea and there's not a really good way of bouncing a concept off of someone. I mean, we knew that this is going one reason for that is that we want it for ourselves so badly that we got to see it in the world, right? But there's other people who see things that I don't see on a day-to-day basis. You know, like the gap year crowd. There's a lot of side hustlers who are in the gap year crowd, and there's there are some tools out there, or the workaway crowd. There are definitely people that are living a different thing right now who have problems that we could probably crack at together.
So, oh yeah.
And that would make this thing so much more interesting, because there's some diversity in that walks of life that make it more well-rounded and probably de-risk the other concepts of companies in there.
And I think that, you know, Adam, to your point about how we as Midwest startup founders can compete with the Valley, it's the studio model answers that, I think. You know, for me, if there are more brands that are coming out of the studio with Rodex, then that's likely partners for me. And that because of that partnership, we can, you know, kind of come together in almost like a co-op fashion and go tackle industries together, and not just have to be a startup founder that's going after building this big, you know, big, amazing, you know, platform to sell it. It's all of a sudden you can actually create this, you know, amazing, sustainable, you know, business as well. So I think that that's something that Emily's done that's pretty amazing, is to think through the studio model and saying, wait a minute, you don't have to always just be straight in competition. You can have collaboration in meaningful ways. Like, what better way than, you know, starting a company and having somebody else that's next to you starting a company, and you already know, ooh, we can be best friend partners. We're going to solve things together in such a cool way.
Well, I'm glad we got some boss ladies on the podcast.
It's about damn time.
We don't have enough boss ladies that reach out.
I think it's a raise your hand thing. So ladies on the, on the line, you got to get in Adam's grill a bit.
Yeah. Reach out. Down. I got a line of guys that got startups that want to, where are the ladies at? Where's these technology ladies at?
Like, you need more of them.
Need Step more up. Of them.
And
yeah.
And
you got
ladies,
ideas too.
If you need mentors or you just need a jam, Emily and I are always available for you. Of course, we're always available for other founders as well. But specifically, if there are ladies out there that just want that support, know that there's a lovely tribe that's out there willing to jam with you anytime as well.
Whole different perspective, especially when it comes to travel.
Yep.
If it was up to us guys, the kids would be probably lost. Who knows where the kids would be?
They didn't come.
We'd be 10 miles down the road. You'd be like, did we leave the kids in the forest? Oh my God, they're still in the tent. So, well, awesome guys. Well, we appreciate you being on the show today, and good luck with everything. And if anybody wants to reach out again, what are the links?
You can go to rodexlab.com and contact us, but sign up and get involved in the beta. I think that the beta is the easiest way to jump in and start experiencing it and jamming with us on the product. We think you kind of look for doers, and that's a good signal to working with us.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kyle. Are you there?
Bye.
Kyle's there. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guests. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you.